This is Ready Radio, preparing you to be ready for anything. Now, here's your survival guide for Ready Radio, John Rush.
All right, welcome. Ready Radio, KLZ 560. Thanks for listening today. We appreciate it very much. Live program today on May the 17th. If you're listening to a replay of this program, you'll know exactly what day it is, and I appreciate you all listening. Website ready-radio.com is where you can find us. And you can text us questions, by the way, as we go through today's episode. You can call in. I've got a special guest joining us, so once we're done, if you need to call in and ask a question, we can do that as well, 303-477-5600. But the text line, 307-282-22, and we've got our guest, J.D. Rucker, joining us now. J.D., welcome. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you for having me, John.
You're very welcome. CEO of the Culper Family Beef, your editor of the Liberty Daily and Discern Report, two of America's most powerful news aggregators with over 10 million web hits per month. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much.
All right, let's talk about mass starvation. Well, let me back up. What is Culper Family Beef? Let's start there.
It's easy. It's the only freeze-dried beef company in America that sells ribeye, New York strip, tenderloin, the good stuff. Survival beef, 25-year shelf life kind of stuff.
Does it have to be frozen? How do you store it? Give us some insight there.
Oh, no, you don't. It's shelf stable. It's cooked. It's all American beef, cooked sous vide, and then it's freeze-dried, which takes out all of the liquid out of it.
Okay.
It's similar to dehydrated, but it's all the way.
Okay.
So then you just take it, you keep it in the bag. It's Mylar bags. You can put it on a shelf, and it's good until 2049. If you eat it, you use it, you just rehydrate it for about 20 minutes in hot water or broth, and it's good as new. Not like jerky or anything like that. It actually tastes like real.
I was going to say, so it's not what a lot of us are used to when it comes to dehydrated foods. It's not eating shoe leather.
No. This is very much the whole idea. There's a purpose for dehydrated food.
I get it. Yeah.
Freeze dried.
Yep.
When it's freeze dried, it retains the flavor, it retains the nutrition, and it retains the consistency. If you were to just look at it, you'd think you were looking at regular beef, and
really,
when you pick it up, you're like, oh my gosh, this is dry. And then you got to rehydrate it. So, but no, it tastes nothing like jerky or dehydrated food. It's freeze dried. It's good stuff.
I will tell you that JD and I'm pretty handy and up on this stuff. We do this on a regular basis every week. Been doing it now for several years. I've got my daily show that we do, and I will be the first to tell you, I don't think I've ever tasted or had anything along those lines to even know what that's like. So I'm taking your word for it.
Well, I'm going to have to get with your producer and send you a bag today.
You know what? I will give you a taste test and definitely do that. And fascinating to me, by the way. I mean, you think about this, and we'll get into some of just where are we at as a nation and why should people be doing this. And I talk about these things regularly. I mean, frankly, I don't think most people are nearly prepared. And the advantage that I see you have is even if you had to go bug out and you needed to take X amount of meals with you, whole lot easier to do it your way than some of the others.
100%. You're absolutely right. Because of the liquid is taken out of it, you can carry 12 servings, 12 adult servings, and it's under a pound. Now,
wow.
You're going to have to find water. Okay. So if you're bugging out and it's in your backpack, you got to be able to find the water. But, I mean, you're right. You can stock a lot of that. There's MREs, there's other things, and they have advantages, but let's face it, they're heavy. Ours is very, very, very light. So.
Yeah, no, I'm on the website, and for those of you listening, it's culperfamilybeef.com, C-U-L-P-E-R, so culperfamilybeef.com, which, by the way, today we've got a special. You can get 15% off at checkout. Just enter code, Culper, C-U-L-P-E-R, and you get 15% at checkout. And I encourage you guys actually to go look, learn, order, buy, get ready. We'll talk about some of this in a moment as to why you'd want to do that, JD. But first things first, what got you going down this path? And had you had any type of experience this way, or did you learn all this as you went?
No, we learned it as I went. I found a couple of great partners, ex-military, disabled veterans. And we all just got together one day, and we're talking about prepper supplies, because all three of us were into prepping. All three of us were relatively new to it. Okay, this has been 3 years ago.
Okay,
we were relatively new to it, and we all agreed, hey, this is good, that's good, this is good. But have you ever tried the beef? it's nasty. And we're like, yeah, oh my gosh, I thought I was the only one.
Thank you.
And, you know,
been there, done that. Yep, thank you.
It's terrible. And so we're like, why do they give us these beef crumbles? Why don't they do ribeyes? And so we got a freeze dryer. We tried it out. And it's like, wow, this works.
Okay, really quick. What's the difference between freeze drying versus dehydrating? I don't think most folks, I'll be the first to tell you, and I'm a pretty intelligent guy. I've lived in the automotive world my entire life, can fix most anything. But I'll be honest, when it comes to this, JD, I'm not sure I can tell you the difference.
Yeah, and it's night and day. It's very, very much different. With dehydrating, you take it and use slow heat.
Right.
Okay, to basically evaporate the liquid out.
Like you would make jerky, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
With freeze drying, you take the food and you go the exact opposite direction. It gets frozen to negative 40 degrees. Okay.
Okay.
And then over a period of time, usually approximately 30 hours, the temperatures raise a little bit, and then there's vacuums that suck out because that forces the liquid out of it. Then the vacuums in the freeze dryer suck out the moisture that's in the air. Then it refreezes more so. Raises the temperature again, lowers it again, raises it again, lowers it again.
So it's an entire process. This isn't something where you just stick it in the machine and 5 minutes later you're ready to go.
No. It takes, like I said, 30 hours per batch.
Okay.
So for beef, it takes about 30 hours, and that's what we found out. That's the whole reason why. Remember how I mentioned that other companies are doing like beef crumbles and stuff like that?
Right.
It's because it's just not cost effective to do it our way. We could never do this on an industrial scale. Like we can do about 10,000 bags a month,
okay.
But to take it up to the next level, it's one of those things where it actually grows in expense because you have to get more and more freeze dryers.
Correct.
Because of the length of time it takes.
Yeah, makes sense. Absolutely. So for everybody listening, high quality, low batch, you're not doing any kind of, lab grown meat or anything along those lines. You know, you're careful on even the jabs and things that the cattle are getting. So you're really looking carefully also at the source of beef in the first place, right?
Absolutely. Not only do we not do the obvious things such as lab grown beef or anything like that, we won't touch imported beef. All of our cattle comes from Texas. It's just Texas beef. We won't import it, and it shocks people to learn that a majority of it, and this has only been in the last 5 years, a majority of the beef that you buy at the grocery store has been imported from Canada, from Australia, from South Korea, and from other countries. This has been a shift in the industry that was never like this, because we've got plenty of great ranchers, but they're attacking ranchers every way they can. We only work with our cows were born in Texas, raised in Texas. They don't leave Texas unless they're in a bag.
Okay.
So you're literally, for
lack of better terms, you're watching this source, if you would, all the way from when it's birthed to where it ends up in your bag.
Literally. Quite literally.
Yeah.
It's like we go and visit our ranchers on a regular basis, at least every couple of weeks.
Okay.
And we work with them, we check with them. And it's not just because we don't trust them, it's because we gotta get our finger.
Yeah, you're putting your name on this. You want to make sure things are dialed in.
100%.
Yeah, I get that. No, makes total sense. So let me ask you this. When it comes to buying, delivery, all of that, I assume because of the way you've done it, there's no need to have this stuff sent when, any kind of cold packing or whatever. People just order it, they get it shipped to their doorstep, and away they go.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It would be like a best practice would be to keep it in a cool, dry, dark place.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't mean, we have people that keep it in the trunk. It's perfectly fine there. It is very stable. Okay. Doesn't need refrigeration at all. Even if you were to open it, because a lot of times people will say, well, it's 12 servings, that's a lot. If you were to open it, it's resealable. You could refrigerate it at that point, okay?
Okay.
But you don't have to. Even if you don't refrigerate it, it's still good for 60 days after
Okay,
that.
So even once you that's open it, you can't use that batch. You hang on to it, it's good 60 days after. So, again, we're talking now, and we can get into some of the end-of-the-world scenarios, but you're out, you're doing whatever you need to, you've got some of this with you, you're not going to eat the whole batch because you're trying to conserve, by the way, you're rationing out if you would, you've got the ability to do so.
Yep.
I noticed the bags, and for some of you that are listening, I don't know exactly how to describe this, but there's this new type of bags, and JD, you can explain this better than I, where you basically tear the top off, it's resealable once you tear it off. What type of, it's not a Ziploc bag, it's much more industrial than that. Is there a name for the particular bags now that you guys use in this?
Yes, these are called Mylar bags.
Mylar bags, okay.
Yep, M-Y-L-A-R.
Yep, I'm very familiar with Mylar, so that makes total sense.
Okay, cool.
And I also know because it's Mylar, it's not having the light penetrate it and all of that. Again, you know, cool, dry place just because your shelf life might even be extended in doing so, but it's not a have to because the bag's doing its job.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
All right. Makes total sense. Now, for those of you that actually go to the website, again, ColperFamilyBeef.com, when you look at this, you're going to think, holy cow, is that expensive? I mean, sorry for the pun on holy cow, but you're going to look at that and say, holy cow, this is really expensive. But you really need to look at how many servings, JD, you're getting on a per-order basis, right?
Yes. Yeah, you got to look at the servings. So with our, what we call the original steak or original beef cubes, that's the only thing that's, I guess you could say, quote-unquote, low quality. And low quality is sirloin, okay, chuck.
Right.
It's a combination of the best... basically the lowest end of the high-end beef, okay? So we've got ribeye, we've got New York strip, we've got tenderloin. The original steak, which is our most popular and my personal favorite, it still comes to under $10 per serving.
That's not bad.
And so, you know, it's not, people say, well, but I can go buy beef for $6 a pound, or I guess now it'd be like $9 a pound. But, you know, I can buy beef for $9 a pound. Well, sure you can, but not have this shelf life
and everything else that goes along with it.
Exactly. Yeah, this is not for everyday consumption.
We're not doing this for the next barbecue.
Right.
Correct?
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, we're not doing this to have guests over. We're doing this for those scenarios that I talk about on this program, and I know you do as well. We're talking about that end of things. Or, you know, and then there's people that, you know, camp and backpack and do all those sorts of things. So you could use it in those circumstances as well. But we're not talking about having this for your next picnic.
No. It really is. This is for just in case. This is for whatever happens, and there's many, many things that could happen.
Yep.
Right? I'm not going to go into fear-mongering. Everybody's...
No, we don't do that here either. I mean, I look at it, JD, as you need to be ready for the quote-unquote what-ifs of life, and that could be anything from natural disasters to solar flares, which we've had a few of those launch out of the sun here the past few weeks, which I'll get into a little bit later today. It could be a total CME event, like I just said. It could be an EMP event. It could be cyber attack on our power grid. I mean, JD, we could get into all the different scenarios. Reality is you need to be ready for any of those.
Any of those, exactly. And one quick note, just to correct you. Okay, and I hate correcting people.
No, go ahead.
I really do.
I'm learning just like you. Go ahead.
I've got to make sure that people understand that if they do go to Culper Family Beef, and they do use that promo code, as you mentioned, Culper, it's actually now bumped up to 25%.
Oh, well, thank you for the correction.
We're going 25.
Thank you. I will definitely stand corrected there. But and I appreciate, by the way, appreciate that. Thank you for giving all of our folks a nice discount. But back to the whole, you know, what if sort of those, you know, I call them end of the world scenarios. I mean, not necessarily end of the world, because each one of those has different outcomes depending upon how you see things going, how prepared things are, and so on. On the same token, JD, we all know. I mean, I think anybody that has any kind of intelligence at all today can look at the world and realize that if some of those scenarios I just mentioned happened, I know predictions are that about 30% of the population is dead within 30 days. I think those are low numbers, frankly.
I don't disagree with you, because, you know, that's based around a scenario where there's more calm than I think
Thank you. Are
capable of doing.
Absolutely. Like, I read a lot of different books along these lines. And again, just sort of common sense. You just think through things and you realize that, okay, wait a minute. I know here in Colorado that if we even get the chance of a decent snowstorm coming in, and in Colorado people should have enough food to handle any snowstorm we would have come our way. But JD, I will tell you that even an announcement of a big snowstorms will absolutely not empty the entire grocery store, but you will be bare on some items just with that kind of an announcement.
Sure. And that's not something that will last, Lord willing, that's not going to last weeks or months.
Around here, JD, it's like a day or two.
Yeah. So we're talking about the scenarios where things can go extended. And a lot of people, we talk to a lot of our customers, their biggest concern right now is an infrastructure or something going wrong before, during, or after the election. And it doesn't matter. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter who they think wins or who does win.
Right.
They think that,
had that conversation at lunch today, by the way.
Yeah. They think that the losing side is going to go crazy. and they think that it's going to cause chaos and that it could, and it's a chain reaction, John. That's the part that concerns people the most, is that what happens if one domino starts to fall, then the next, we could be literally waiting for FEMA to save us or not, or we could make sure that we have our family secured for days, weeks, months, even years at a time.
And that's I say this all the time. If you're waiting at that point for government to come, chances of that happening are going to be slim to none.
Mm-hmm. And even if they do come, there's complications that can result from that as well. So
yeah, and even they at that time will have limited resources. And again, JD, a lot of the books that I've read, and granted, and I say this all the time, they're fictional, and you know, these authors are adding different things in and so on, although I don't think some of them are that far off. The reality is, even the folks that work in these government positions, when things get that bad, and JD, it's not because they're bad people. Actually, they're very good people at that point in time. Do you think they're going to go to their government job, or do you think they're going to go help their own family?
You know, I mean, that's what we've got to do. I'm of the mindset, John, that we have a responsibility as American citizens to protect their nation. And then we have a responsibility, of course, as I think a greater responsibility to protect our community. But when things get really, really bad, our responsibility is to ourselves and our families.
That's right.
Period.
Absolutely.
I don't see anything wrong with that. It's not,
nope.
Oh, you're being selfish.
Oh, no. That's wrong answer.
Communist society.
Yeah, wrong answer.
You take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a reason why they, you know, when you're on a flight, they always tell you, you know, make sure that you put your own mask on first before you help anybody else.
Absolutely.
There's going to be millions of Americans who won't be able to put their food mask on, so to speak. And they're going to be in trouble.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, this isn't fear mongering. I think you just have to look at things in a very common sense oriented, you know, wise fashion. And it's not to try to, you know, I'm not trying to scare anybody into doing anything. In fact, when it comes to even, you know, buying product from you, you can buy it, you cannot. The point being is if you don't have things dialed in, I'm one of those, JD, and I'll get your opinion on this as well. I'm not a one size fits all. I think you need to have multiple things going on to handle multiple things that might come down the pike. And if you've only got one answer to a particular solution, you're not looking at it correctly.
Oh, gosh. I am so glad you said it like that. People ask me, what's the first thing to do? And I think they expect me to, well, you should buy beef. That's like the fifth thing you should do.
Yeah.
Okay? The first thing you should do is, no offense to anybody living in the city, but if you can, get out of the city.
I was going to say, JD, I answer it this way. What's the first thing you should do? What's your plan? Do you have one? Because if you don't, it doesn't matter what number two, three, and four is, because you don't have any idea anyways.
Right. Exactly.
So number one is, what's the plan going to be if something were to take place? And by the way, have a plan for the different scenarios that would come down the pike. And I would also add to that, JD, that depending upon who you are, and I'll be sensitive when I say this. I mean, JD, some people have a lot more ability to make do with pretty much anything. You know, some of us, you know, myself included, grew up in a lifestyle in a family where my dad taught us how to do everything. I mean, it didn't matter if it was plumbing, electricity, whatever. You had to learn because there wasn't any money to call that repairman. You know, you rarely waved the white flag of surrender. You pretty much figured out a way to fix it on your own. And I was raised that way, thankfully, because I have a lot of skills today that I wouldn't have otherwise. But depending upon where you fall in that whole skill set means you've got to plan for things differently if you don't have some of those skills, correct?
100%. And even if you do have the skills, there's nothing wrong with taking advantage of other aspects.
Absolutely.
Say, oh, I'll live off the land, you know, but I look at them. I say,
yeah,
well,
nobody wants to do that.
You got land now.
Well, and really quick
now,
along those lines, JD, and you know this. I mean, again, some of the things that I've read and just thinking through it, you know, a big event hits. Let's say it's either a CME or an EMP type of a strike and our power grid is completely down. Folks, let me tell you this. Yeah, you might be great hunters. You might be a great fisherman. You might be able to live off the land. The problem, JD, is everything is so chaotic for the first at least 14 to 30 days, most likely. You're going to be doing well just to survive. Nonetheless, try to go hunt off the land. It's not going to be some utopian where you walk out and go kill rabbits all day long. No, everybody else is going to be doing the same thing.
And they got to watch out for each other as well.
I mean, like this whole idea of, oh, I'll be okay, I've got this, that, and the other. well, do you realize that everybody else is going to be vying for the exact same thing? It's a whole lot easier to have some of your food pre-planned and ready to go, even if it's only for 30 to 60 days. You're better off having that and then start worrying about living off the land after things have settled down. But if you haven't done that, I hate to tell you, you're going to go hungry.
Yep. Yes, you will. And then there's the water situation. Communications. You do have, you said right from the beginning, the most important thing is to have a plan, and more than one plan. Have a plan for different scenarios.
Correct.
Are you bugging in? Are you bugging out? Are you able to get someplace else? Do you have to build a fortress? What are you going to do if this, that, or this happens? And it's not something where you have to, like, change your lifestyle. There's nothing wrong with that either. Somebody wants to go live in a bunker, great, awesome.
Yeah, more power to them.
But for those of us who can, yeah. But if you can't, then at least know what you would do
right.
if you're stuck doing this or that or the other.
And there are some people, as you just said, JD, a moment ago, that live in the city. Maybe they have to because of who knows what, their job, et cetera. And I'm not criticizing anybody and their lifestyle. To each his own. I'm one of those where I believe that this is the land of the free and the brave. And the reality is you've got the freedom to live wherever you want to and however you want to. Just remember that when these things start to take place, those inner cities, especially working outward, will be pandemonium first, and it will reach itself even out into the suburbs. And a lot of people think, well, I'm in a country town, there won't be issues there. Maybe not initially, but eventually there will be there also.
Yeah, because people will realize, man, I got to get out of the city now, too. I've got to go find food.
Correct.
Maybe I can go find Farmer Bob out there.
Correct.
Maybe Farmer Bob won't be armed. So, yeah, it's just a matter of being in as good of a situation as your current resources and assets allow you to be in. And this is why I always tell people, look at the whole situation, look at your situation, and plan accordingly. Do what's best for you. And for some people, I've heard this before, some people are like, look, I'm going to stay in my apartment because this is where I belong. This is what I can afford. I'm going to have me some backup food, maybe some backup water, but otherwise, if they come for me, I'm just going to do what I can to survive. And if that's the best you can do, so be it.
Right.
Okay. And if you don't want to do anything, so be it. The only one, you say land of the free, home of the brave, but here's the thing. There's one group, just one group, John, that I'm very against, so to speak. And that's the group that say, my preparation is that I'm heavily armed, and if I need to, if things go bad, I'm just going to take what I need. The survival of the fittest group is what I call them.
Yep.
And I don't abide by that.
I agree with you.
You shouldn't rely on your based upon harming others.
Thank you very much for saying that, JD. Yes. By the way, I appreciate you saying that. I've talked about that here as well. Yeah. Number one, that's a lot harder than you think. And a lot of those folks, JD, that are, I'm sorry, I'll just say it straight up. The majority of people that talk like that have most likely never taken another person's life and or seen the life come out of a person, and in a lot of cases may have not even ever taken an animal's life. So the reality is they're big talkers.
Right. They are.
Because the reality is the guys that have don't talk like that, by the way.
You're 100%. I've got one of my partners, again, they've both been to war. They were combat disabled in the Middle East. Okay, they have taken lives. They have, and long story short, is that they are not talking like that.
There you go.
At all, they never would, and they take life very seriously, and they take the lives of their families very seriously, which is why they helped me start this company in the first place.
Good. Going back to the beef itself, I had a question that I was just thinking of a moment ago. Let's say you're in that scenario. We've got our Culper family beef. We've stuck that in our backpack. We maybe have to be on the run. Maybe we didn't have a chance to even pack the camp stove and other things with us. So we're literally on the run. Maybe can't even, because of certain circumstances, start a fire. Can we still add water and eat?
Yes. It just takes longer.
Okay.
So bottom line is it could be normal cold water. It could be really cold water even.
Okay.
It will just take longer. If you use heated water or even close to boiling water, it'll take anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes. The longer you can go, the better.
Okay.
If you're using cold water, it can take a while. We're talking potentially hours, but you will eat.
And I'm assuming it's colder, it's not absorbing the water and quote unquote
right.
growing back into its original condition, because it just can't because of the physics of it.
Right. It's just physics. That's all there is to
okay.
it.
Okay. All right.
So, and no, people will ask me, could I eat it without the water? You can, but it's pretty darn dry.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you might need it. There's no dentist around after that either.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's another dumb question.
Water.
So here's just a question to throw out to you. Dumb question. would it behoove you or somebody else to make some sort of a heatable black bag to where even if you didn't have the ability to have warm water but the sun was out, you could pour water in it, still have it in some sort of a black bag that absorbs water and heats it up faster? Is that something people could look at doing in that particular scenario?
So not only is that in development, in the works, okay, but it's actually where we have, I don't know what I'm allowed to say. We have funding that's looking into that.
Okay, so you're thinking along those lines is what you're saying. That's all you got to tell me.
Single pack, okay, shake it up, and it reacts. It already has the water and the heating element in it.
We're
in the works, probably 2025.
Okay, got it. Hey, again, just asking, because as you know, those particular situations could come up. And in the meantime, for those of you listening, if something were to happen and you have this, yeah, I would advise you, hey, nothing wrong with, and I say this even on the prepping end of things, JD, a few black trash bags, you know, hauling around with you, there is a gazillion uses for those things, and I just gave you one.
Yes, you did. That's so funny. Nobody's ever brought that up. We thought we had the most brilliant idea of all time, and now you just unveiled it to the world. That's awesome.
That's the car side of me, JD, you know, fixing cars over all these years and doing the things I've had to do in that world. It's just kind of, you know, again, your mind starts to think differently because you're in that world more than a lot of people that don't do it are. That's all. I'm nothing special. I've just been down those paths before with different things. That's all.
It is. And this is, we're trying to offer a solution to a potential problem.
Gotcha.
That's all this is. This is problem solving. People anticipate that there could be problems from 55 different directions. Whatever problem they think they're going to have,
yep,
we want to offer a possible solution to at least some of those problems. Not all of them. We're not trying to, you know, you can go to these prepper supply stores and they've got like, oh, you know, here's 1,500 items. We got one. We just do beef. That's it. We just want to be the best beef company out there, period.
Nice. All right. Hey, can you hang tight? We take a quick break. I got a few more things I want to throw at you.
You bet.
All right. Well, hang tight, guys. We'll come right back. If you got a question specific for JD, by the way, go ahead and send me a text message. We'll get it asked. But JD is Culper Family Beef. And again, there's a now 25% discount at checkout. Just type in the code Culper at checkout, C-U-L-P-E-R. We'll put the links up, by the way, on our website where you'll have that ability even a little bit later. So if you're listening to a replay of this also a little bit later, either tonight or tomorrow, you've got the ability to do that as well. So we'll be right back. Ready Radio. It's ready-radio.com. All right, we are back. Ready Radio, ready-radio.com. And somebody asked me, would I please spell one more time the name of JD's company? It's Culper, C-U-L-P-E-R, CulperFamilyBeef.com. And don't forget to put the discount code in at the end. That gets you the 25% off as well. And that code is also Culper, C-U-L-P-E-R. JD, I know you just did an interview here not too long ago with the CDC talking about bird flu and all of that when it comes to beef. Can you give us a little insight into that?
Yeah, so CDC.
Only because I talk about that for an hour on my other daily program on Thursdays, and we went through some of this a little bit yesterday. So I thought, you know what, this is a good tie-in. I'll let you go ahead and add some things that I talked about yesterday as well.
Yeah, you bet. Well, there is a, I don't want to say conspiracy, but there is something weird going on with this entire bird flu thing.
Agree.
They're trying, it seems as if they're really trying to demonize beef, cows in general, not just beef. They're going after raw milk, for example. They're going after all of these things that they apparently don't have enough control over.
Right.
And we're seeing a scare here.
By the way, keyword.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Keyword you just said, by the way, control.
Control. Exactly.
Yep.
This is, it blows me away, John, because we have here a situation where there's been zero deaths, of course, you know, praise God, nobody's died from the bird flu, getting it from cows. There's been one confirmed case of somebody who actually didn't drink the milk or eat the beef. He actually worked at a cattle ranch.
Okay.
And he gets a case of conjunctivitis, which is, you know, basically pink eye, right? And then from there, it's like all of a sudden you would think that this is the bubonic plague. They're talking about, hey, we're ready to roll out 100 million vaccines. 100 million vaccines.
Wow.
For something. You've got them talking about, you've got both former and current members of the CDC and FDA, as well as corporate media, talking about how this could be the next pandemic. There's zero evidence, okay? Zero evidence that tells us this. This seems to me, and again, I'm not trying to get too conspiratorial here, but it just seems like this is so overblown, way above and beyond anything we've seen, even more overblown than COVID itself when it was first coming out. And, you know, there was obviously reasons for people to be concerned at that point because you're seeing these videos coming out in 2019 and, you know, out of China. You're hearing all these projections from these people that are based around actual cases. This seems as if they're rushing it. I mean, again, not trying
you are spot on. We talked about a little bit of this yesterday. I've got a really great famous doctor that joins us weekly, Dr. Kelly Victory, who's really been spot on when it comes to everything related to COVID, the vaccines, and so I've been talking about it on my daily show for literally 3.5 to 4 years since almost the beginning of COVID, JD. So no, you're among friends with all of that, and we even yesterday were talking that, you know, where is this headed? What are they trying to do? What's the ultimate end goal? And the reality is, no one knows. I mean, if anybody knew what the end goal was, you know, you and I would be not doing what we're doing today because we'd have a crystal ball and be able to predict all sorts of things. But, you know, is there some nefarious things going on when it comes to this? Yeah, I believe there absolutely is.
There really is. There has to be because, again, none of it, there's no logic to it. Usually there's at least some form of logic that they can latch onto and start the fear-mongering. In this case, there is nothing. There's nothing logical. There's nothing that says, hey, be concerned about this. This is one of those things where in a sane world, if this was, let's say, you know, 1997, okay, and the exact same thing is happening with bird flu, with the poultry itself, and now into the cattle, be like, huh, that's a curiosity. You know, maybe we should keep our eye on this. They wouldn't be talking about 100 million vaccine doses or we've got to fundamentally change the cattle or you know, recall everything and get ready for a pandemic. Nobody would be talking about it. Nobody in government, nobody in media. The fact that they are talking about it now, it seems as if they're basically trying to rush something into play. Yep. And I don't know what that is.
I'm one of those that feels like they're always trying to throw something up against the wall to see what sticks and what doesn't. And believe me, they are working on things, in my opinion, constantly. This is not conspiratorial. I just believe full well, JD, that the hardcore Marxist left is always working on whatever they can do to create the next crisis because their motto is never let a crisis go to waste. So if there's something they can throw up that will stick, that they know they can dovetail into, you betcha they're going to do that.
Yes, they are. And that's what we're experiencing now. And you're right. I'm hopeful that this is something similar to other recent scares, like, you know, I mean, monkeypox or whatever. Right. It seems as if I'm hopeful that this is one, okay, we're going to try to scare the people. It didn't work. So let's move on to the next one. That's what I hope.
I agree.
The only reason I'm a little bit more concerned about this one is because it does kind of kill two birds with one stone, so to speak, because it goes after the cattle. We know they've been going after the cattle.
True.
Whether it's with
True.
Climate change
Good
or
point.
with regulations or whatever, they're going after cattle. So maybe this is one they're going to push harder and harder and harder and try to do more than just throwing one time up against the wall. Maybe they're going to try to really hard to make this one stick.
Can't argue with that. Back to what you guys do, by the way. This was a great text that came in from somebody talking about what you guys do with the freeze-dried beef and all of that. Somebody said, you know, people can buy their own freeze-dried machines at places like Scheels, but they run anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000, and then you've got all of the work and supplies and labor in doing what you're doing. The point of this texture was, while it might sound a little bit expensive buying from you, think of the alternative.
Yeah, no, I agree. And here's the thing. I will tell people all the time, if you have the time and the resources to freeze-dry yourself, absolutely. Okay, we are an alternative. We're not the best solution. The best solution, I own a freeze-dryer, a personal freeze-dryer, okay? I freeze-dry my own food. I even freeze-dry my own beef sometimes, but that's just because my wife is a fantastic cook. But as far as what people can do, if you have the time, because it is time-consuming, and if you have the food, and it does take energy, and you do have to change the oil in the machine, it's not an easy process, but it's not so hard where it's like, oh, you leave it up to the experts. That's not true. Anybody can do it. Just about anybody could do it. Okay, you're
it's
right,
just if you have the time. And no offense, I don't. I got other things to do, Dave. Sorry. Or JD, I mean.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got other things to do.
No, you're right. You're right.
And speaking of,
we are the alternative.
Which I appreciate. Dave, by the way, that's where Dave came from, has a question. Dave, let me bring you on. Dave, you're on with JD. Go ahead.
Yeah, John and JD, I just want to throw this out there to you guys, and specifically JD, since you're in the business. What do you think of, or what's behind the USDA's new mandate for EID tags for cattle? Them being able to track
good
every
question.
Cattle across the country.
Absolutely. It's that C word again, okay? It comes down to control.
Yeah.
Being able to tag the cattle and follow them. This is where they're going to be able to say, uh-oh, cattle that with these tags and those tags, these are bad. And they can start instead of just saying this ranch, for example, they can start batching it out. This gives them the ability to basically demonize or turn a boogeyman in anywhere they want, okay? It doesn't have to be real. It doesn't have to be – I'm not saying they're going to do this, but this gives them the ability to do that.
Sure.
Moreover, it also takes away the ability for, let's say, hey, you know, things are going bad. Let's start it. Looks like they're going to start mandating vaccines in cattle. Let's form our own underground ranch in the hills of Montana.
Can't do it.
They'll find you.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing I would say, too, and again, this is not conspiratorial, and Dave, I think you would agree with me. JD, you probably would as well. This, in my opinion, is also a way for them to target certain individuals, which we know they're already doing. So say you're a big conservative donor that owns a really big cattle ranch here in the U.S. With all of these tags, they could easily isolate you out from what's going on with everybody else. Sorry.
Yep, 100%.
That's what they can do. Dave, yep, you agree?
Right. So it's a solution in search of a problem.
Yep.
Or it's a problem that they want to create and already have
I think it's opposite, Dave. I think it's they've already got what they feel, quote unquote, is a problem, whether you're talking climate change, whether you're talking the political side of it, like I just mentioned a moment ago. They feel, the Marxist left, they feel that they've already got a problem. This, in my opinion, is their solution to said problem. That's my thought.
Yes.
Yeah, further control,
I agree.
It's something that we discussed earlier about, you know, don't be concerned about TikTok and everything else. I would be more concerned about the
yep.
foreign entities that control
absolutely.
Our beef and pork production
absolutely.
Facilities in this country. There's only four of them out there, and they're all foreign-owned. So I would be more concerned with that rather than
yep.
this nonsense on TikTok or what Sean Combs is doing.
Yep, you're right. Dave, I'll let you go with that. JD, add to that. I agree with him, by the way.
No, I agree with both of you. So you're absolutely right. This isn't. It's not that they're searching for a problem. They have a problem. It's just not our problem.
Right.
It's not a problem with ranchers. It's not a problem with cattle. It's not a problem with consumers. It's not a problem for health. It's a problem of control. They want to be able to track everything, and they can't figure that out how to do it unless they can tag all the cows.
Yeah, and as you know, JD, they do track a lot of other things in the country when it comes to our food sources, and Dave just said a moment ago, when it comes to other forms of animals, you know, pork, for example, I mean, they've gotten that thing to the point where there's hardly any independent farmers left growing pork. Yes, I know there's a few out there, so please don't send me a text message and correct me if you are one of those. Yes, I know there are a few, but by and large, JD, whether it comes to poultry or pork, they pretty much, I don't want to say they control it fully, but there's a lot of control in those two industries already. The one thing they don't control enough of, in my opinion, that they think they don't control enough of, is the beef industry.
It is. You're absolutely correct, because this is the tradition in the beef industry goes, it's familial, it's generational.
Correct.
You know, pig farms, chicken farms, even fish. It's like, okay, that's a business. That's something you do. If you're a cattle rancher, you're a cattle rancher for life.
That's right.
This is something that this is who you are.
That's right.
And it's the only food that's like that. Okay, it's the only food like that, and it is. That's what makes it the hardest for them to control, because there's tradition, there's pride involved. Whereas, you know, oh, I got a pig farm, got a great offer from a Chinese company, so now I'm out. You know, going to go live in Aruba or something.
Yeah, most ranchers don't do that.
They don't. And
the reason, again, JD, really quick, yeah, the reason they don't, to your point, it's a generational thing, it's a pride thing, which, by the way, rightfully so, it should be. And, again, in Colorado, where we grow a lot of beef and have feedlots and so on here, where we're very, very familiar with this, more so than probably a lot of folks in other parts of the country are, there's a lot of beef, as you know, that comes out of Colorado as well.
There is. And that's good. You know, Colorado, I love Colorado beef, as a matter of fact. People don't realize that a lot of the, if you eat beef in Texas, about 30% of the beef you eat in Texas at restaurants actually comes from Colorado. A lot of the beef in Texas, just because of the Texas name, it gets shipped out. Just a little quip.
Very true. No, you're very well said. Okay, really quick, getting back to some of those, you know, what ifs and things at the end of the world sort of scenarios. I know you do a lot of this, like I do as well. So not talking beef and food and so on, you know, going back to that, you know, what are those main things? And yes, we talked about, well, number one, you got to have a plan. But what are some of the other things folks should think about that maybe they aren't when it comes to some of that end of of world planning. And I hate to use the end of world. I hate to use that term. But if society changes greatly as we know it, let's say it that way.
The biggest one, the hardest one, I would say, for a majority of Americans, everybody's, you know, I wouldn't say everybody, but most people have members of their family that require some sort of medication.
There you go.
You know, whether it's life-saving medication or not, that being able to get meds, today we live in a society where we're very blessed to be able to just, hey, you know, call the doctor, get this the prescription, call it in, and then we run down the block, go through a drive-thru, and somebody hands us life-saving drugs. Okay? We're unique in that regard. But here's the thing. That could collapse very quickly.
Yeah.
I tell people, please, if you must have a certain drug, make sure you got plenty of it. Talk to your doctor. You know, there's services out there you can go to.
Yeah, and really quick, JD,
most drugs will last a while.
You may not know this, but let me give you a heads up. I've got a particular individual that we've actually interviewed numerous times now. So there's a company called Jase Medical, J-A-S-E. I don't know if you know them or not. Sean Rowland is the doctor, and they can do a lot of what you just said.
Yeah, no, the Jase is fantastic. They do everything through telehealth.
Yep.
So so you just you can be sitting at your computer, you sign up,
you got it.
Go through telehealth, you tell them what you need, they do a quick check, and then they put it in the mail.
You
and
it's
antibiotics, they do life saving medicines, you need diabetes medicine, whatever, they've got it all. I love that company.
You are spot on with exactly the same things that we have done here. And by the way, and I'm with you. I've said this for a long time. Yeah, you can have all of the other guns, ammo, food, etc. But if there's a life-saving drug that you need and or you end up with some sort of an injury and you need antibiotics for it, all of those other things I just mentioned will mean nothing if you're dead.
Right, exactly. And then the biggest one, the thing that's going to hurt the most people, where they're going to need the most instantaneous need, is going to be water.
Yeah.
Okay. If the most Americans don't know what to do if the water gets shut off.
Good point.
They can't go to the grocery store and get bottled water. And you will die faster from lack of bottled water than lack of food or lack of power or just about anything else.
Yep.
So make sure that you either have a supply or that you're close to a fresh water supply or that you have a solution, because otherwise that's going to be the biggest need if things go really south really fast, especially at the grocery stores.
The other thing I've learned from listening to a lot of these books and different things that I do along those lines too, JD, which a lot of people forget about. You know, we kind of think, you know, sanitation, I can handle things and there's always going to be the ability to shower up and so on. Well, no, there probably won't. And I'll tell you, though, the larger thing for a lot of you listening, please, and I don't want to sound, you know, gross or anything along those lines, but this is a basic need that a certain percentage of our population, JD, has, and that is feminine hygiene products. Every single thing that I've read, it is one of the first things that folks start to run out of when the quote-unquote lights go out. They don't have enough of that.
No, you're right. And it's not just feminine. It's hygiene in general. People
That's
think,
right.
oh, you know, I guess I'll just stink during the apocalypse. There are medical reasons, health reasons.
Correct.
That you need to stay clean.
Correct.
So don't run out of soap. Don't run out of... You know, you don't have to get all a bunch of frou-frou shampoo if you don't want, but make sure you can at least have soap, not just to clean yourself, but to clean your equipment, to clean your everything, keep your supplies clean. So super important to keep hygiene. But you're right, feminine hygiene, that's something that can get really bad in a hurry.
That's really bad. No, you're exactly right. The other thing, too, and I forgot about this. I saw watching Mega Brands the other day on the History Channel, and one of the actual... brands that were on there was, you know, Procter & Gamble and the inventors of Ivory Soap, and they did Ivory Soap, and I can remember as a kid you'd even carve the soap because that's the only soap that actually floats. And what I will tell you is, in that prepping end of things to where you may not have the clearest of water that you're actually working in, JD, I would advise people to have several bars of that kicking around, because if you're going to throw something in your backpack, make sure it's ivory.
Yeah, I'm not kidding you. I've got four cases, so that would be... That'd be 96. I've got 96 bars. And we rotate them.
You go. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, so I probably got 92 bars. Okay?
Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely. And again, you know, I sort of laugh and make fun at that, and we all forget what that was like as a kid. But again, the last thing you want to do is, you know, you're in a pond or a river, or you're trying to clean up or whatever the case may be, and all of a sudden something happens and the soap, you know, the soap slips out of your hand. Well, nobody wants to be down in the mud and the crud and whatever trying to find that. The ivory just floats. It's there.
It's just there. You got it.
So, anyways, a lot
I
of
love it.
I love talking to you. We think, as you can tell, we think a lot alike, and I appreciate it.
Very much.
Okay, outside of ColperFamilyBeef.com, how do folks find you, JD?
Easiest way is on Twitter, which is now called X.
Yep.
You can always reach out to me. It's at JD Rucker. I have open DMs, so you know I talk to people every day.
Okay.
I'm not a huge fan of the platform. It's fine. You know, I guess if you're going to be on anyone, that one's fine to be on. But I like the fact that it's easy to use, and so many people have that ability to be able to reach out to me. I don't even tweet every day, but I do read my direct messages every day.
Okay.
So that's a fast way to get me.
Awesome. JD Rucker, I appreciate it very much. You are welcome here anytime. I appreciate it. Those of you listening, again, it's ColperFamilyBeef.com. If you order something, use Culper in the checkout. You get 25% off. And JD, thank you for upping that for us today and our listeners. I appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you so much, John. I appreciate you. God bless you and your audience.
God bless you, too. It's been a joy having you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Take care. And Jay, great guy, by the way. He does a lot of national interviews and things along those lines. You can tell he's very up, especially on the beef end of things, but also just when it comes to the whole prepping end of things, he's very up on things. And somebody actually called and then even emailed me yesterday about the solar flares, some of them that are happening as we speak. And I will tell you that this last one looks like it's not going to end up having much of an impact. The reality is we have a very active sun right now. It's probably the best way for me to say it when it comes to these sorts of things, solar flares and the like. It's the most active it's been, by the way, in quite some time. Is that something to be alarmed about? I'm not losing any sleep over it. I'm ready. I'm prepared. If something were to happen, you know, we and my family will be okay. But I think for a lot of people, they get really upset and uptight over these things because maybe they're not quite as ready as they should be. So point being, am I worried about the lights going off or us going off air tonight, tomorrow, Sunday, whatever? No, I'm not going to lose any sleep over any of that. If it happens, it happens. What I will say, though, is it's just a reminder that, yes, these things are happening. Could they intensify? Absolutely. Could we have a large CME event that takes the power grid down? We could. I don't have a crystal ball. I have no idea what's coming. As we talk about here on Ready Radio, just make sure you're ready for the what ifs of life. We'll be right back. Ready-radio.com, KLZ 560. All right, don't forget, ColperFamilyBeef.com, 25% out, or 25% off at checkout. Just put in the code Culper, C-U-L-P-E-R. That's it for today's show. Thank you for listening. If it's a replay show, thank you for listening as well. Ready-radio.com is the website, KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.